Hello and welcome to NYPD Blue Balls. This is supposed to be a commentary episode where we watch Season 7, Episode 21, Bats Off to Larry, while recording Season 7, Episode 21, Bats Off to Larry. However, we had some issues. The recording equipment did not live up to expectations, and the device we were watching the episode on has a clicker or controller or handheld device that is just trash. So it was touch and go for this episode and the episode after this. So you can watch along with us, kind of. There was a moment where it cut out completely and we tried to get back on track. There was another moment where it just paused in the middle of recording and we tried to get back on track. So it's going to be all over the place. I apologize. I will try to make it better. Anyways, right now, here's Season 7, Episode 21, Bats Off to Larry, and we're in the same room for the first time in a long time.
Okay, one, two, three, go. That didn't
work. It's not starting. There we go. 0-0-0. Here we go. Boom. People riding bikes. Shot of the two towers. Moving bananas.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to NYPD Blue Balls. Season 7, Episode 21, Bats Off to Larry. And it's the first episode where we're in the same room in many a long time.
So it's gonna suck. How do you turn on the subtitles? Because if you're gonna be a weirdo and not let those listen to it, like, have any other thing on in the background.
We can't have the audio from the show in the podcast, Kyle. We're not. So I don't think we're supposed to.
That's fine. We gotta know what they're talking about. Yeah, keep drinking Coke while we're on air.
It was iced tea. Did you get the subtitles to work?
Yeah.
Are we prepared now?
Yeah. Yeah. Andy's being annoying about his kid.
Well, his kid isn't feeling well.
Well, his kid says he's fine.
But he's been pale, and I guess his lips are purple.
Put him in the sun.
Prescription from Dr. Kyle. Put him in the sun. Well, as we know, Sipwitz tends to get a little cranky when he's stressed, and he's a little bit stressed about his son. And now we're at the beginning credits of NYPD Blue. This is NYPD Blue Balls, where I, Kirk, and the other voice, Kyle, talk about every single episode of the best show ever, NYPD Blue. And this is Season 7, Episode 21, Bats Off to Larry. And, yeah.
Do you ever think that saying best show ever is, like, rough, like a little harsh?
A little harsh.
Yeah.
As in, I'm being sarcastic and I don't think it's the best show ever?
Or it's more like, really the best show ever?
Well, I think the entire conceit of the podcast, which we're currently doing, was that we like the show so much that we like to talk about it. But it would be fun to find out 7 seasons in that the whole time we don't think it's the best show ever. We're just doing this for shits and giggles.
No, it's like, you're missing my point.
Oh, and that point is?
Like, it could be really good. It could be a really good show. But since then, don't you think maybe there's some other shows that are better than it?
I think there's probably a handful.
Uh-oh, blonde-haired dude.
Yeah, here's Don.
Sick Don with a blonde hair.
Looking like a complete asshole. And Jill shows up at his rat hole apartment.
Am I supposed to believe this is the first time that she's been here?
Supposedly, it's the first time she's been here.
But they've been in contact.
She does say something later that would imply that, yes. But this whole meeting is proof that Jill knows that Don is still alive, yeah. Which we didn't know for sure.
Yeah.
And it proves that he has something over her because she says things like, is he okay? Am I going to see him? But we don't really get a clear indication of what that means. We can assume it means her son, one of her sons. Because she has 2 sons with John.
No, I know. I just can't get over that hair.
Yeah, the hair is pretty bad. I also enjoy that she hears somebody in the bathroom, and she's like, "Who's that?" And he's like, "It's not a hooker. It's a guy. It's not a guy hooker." I think that's pretty good writing for comedy.
And that's Denby.
And there's Denby, I think, taking a shit and doing cocaine.
Or is he taking... I thought he was just taking cocaine shits.
Are those the shits that you have to take while on cocaine?
Or after, when you wake up the night before drinking and doing... The night after doing a bunch of cocaine and drinking.
You get the shits?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know. I haven't had a night of drinking and cocaine.
Neither have I. It's just only a night of drinking.
So, I don't know. I've had drinking shits. For sure.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy that it seems like she opens the door and he was doing both at the same time. Because, you know, waste not, want not.
NYPD's finest.
Oh, yeah, he is a cop. That's Denby. Special agent Denby. Special agent of stupidity. Here, Danny comments that Sipwitz looks like he's in sixth grade because of how he's sitting.
If he was in your sixth grade class, you'd be scared out of your mind.
If Sipwitz was in your sixth grade class?
Someone who looked like Sipwitz was in your sixth grade class.
What if he was the teacher?
He'd be scared, too.
Yeah, probably. Do you think he had that balding pattern in sixth grade?
I think he's had that balding pattern for a while.
But Sipowicz shares that he's feeling a little stressed because his son had to go to the doctor's office and get blood tests.
Did his son have to go to the doctor's office, or did he take his son to the doctor's office?
Well, his color hasn't been good, Kyle. He's looked a little pale. So he wanted to check it out.
Eat a carrot, dude.
Okay, so far we have two bits of advice. Go out in the sun and eat a carrot, dude. That's Dr. Kyle at work. Oh, your son's a little pale? Eat a carrot and go outside. And here, Sipowicz gets the call that he's going to have to take his son back to the doctor's immediately. Usually not good news.
Not good. That means he's dying.
That means he's dying.
That means.
Well, it could mean that they just have to take care of something real quick.
And then he calls Katie and like yells at her. Or is that something different? Oops.
I believe he does call Katie and he does yell at her. It's because...
That's par for the course, though.
Because I believe he calls her and says...
Oh, he does that right. He's doing that right now.
He says, can you go meet me at his school? And she says something like, is he hurt? He's like, why would he be hurt? It's like, well, why are you asking to meet me at his school? Katie Sipowicz, for those that might be just joining us, though I doubt it, that would be Sipowicz's ex-wife. She really kind of becomes a punching bag even after he gets sober, and so does she.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit.
Because Sipowicz calls her to be like, hey, could you be my support? And if she asks any clarifying question, he yells at her.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, well, what's going on? Shut your mouth. Just be here. I don't want to discuss this over the phone. It's like, but then he gets off the phone and is going to discuss it with everyone that's around.
And he also mentions that he's not going to go anywhere until she gets there. So he's gonna get to the kid's school. He's going to get to Theo's school. He's going to wait there until Katie shows up, and then they're going to go to the doctor's office.
Yeah. And here's this weirdo grabbing his paperclips.
Also, rest in peace, Austin Majors, who played Theo Sipowicz for many years.
It's like rest in peace to the two towers.
No, Kyle, I wasn't going to say rest in peace to the two towers.
A lot of shots of those, dude.
Well, they were still around back then. Boom. Now we got the team of Baldwin and Medavoy, and they got a DOA, Kyle. Dude was beat to death with bats.
father and brother tag team match.
Tag team bat match, Sting style.
This guy's a recurring face. He comes back later.
Which guy, Kyle? Are you talking about the son or the father?
Maybe both.
Both of them are recurring. And
I don't remember the son as much. The father comes later.
I don't remember the father at all either, but the son in this scene, Joey, I believe his name is.
Yeah.
He was in an episode with a dead girl in a basement, and they thought it might be him. He was the boyfriend of the mother.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that guy immediately. I don't remember. He has another episode after this one at some point. And I guess the father has the same situation. He has one before and one after, but I don't remember them.
I don't remember the before one. The after one, he is with... It's a couple scenes with when Isai Morales' character shows up.
Ah, Isai Morales.
Is it Isai or Si? I don't remember how to say it.
I don't either.
Say it. Anyways, the dude got beat to death in the house.
And he got beat to death by a father and son who claimed the gentleman was about to sexually assault their sister and slash daughter, and then they just beat him to death before he could do so. But the girl is basically looking at the ground and not speaking very much.
She's scared shitless.
And the dad is trying to browbeat Jones, which isn't going to get very far because Jones ain't going to put up with that shit.
I might put up with a little bit of it.
Because he was like, we're going to all talk about it at the house, and you're going to just do it.
And then Danny's being a weirdo.
He is kind of post up in the coffee room, just like freaking out about Theo.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah, right? But he's like calling attention to himself. What? Is it too far?
Might be a little too far. We're trying to get the position of the microphone down.
Gee, if we had a microphone holder, it wouldn't move.
Our microphone stand is a microphone holder. So yeah, basically Danny gets reassurance because the mom and the crew is just like, yeah, sometimes they bring them in right away to get the antibiotics going.
Did you say the mom and the crew?
Yeah, there's only one mom
Jilly,
there.
Jilly Jill.
And the mom and the crew, who currently, as of right now, doesn't know where one of her sons is. That's a little preview. It's a little...
Damn, you think she doesn't know about where her son is now?
Yeah, she doesn't. Because the conversation she has with Don, where he's like, where is he? Is he okay? They got to be talking about one of the sons. Like, who else would she even be talking about?
It's a good eye. That's a good catch, Kirk.
Thank you. I'm like a detective. This episode has a lot. This episode and the next episode has a lot of Danny and Diane speculating what's going on.
Well, they gotta flush out all the sexual chemistry.
they gotta just wring it out like a rag.
Yeah, dude, I didn't notice. This has nothing to do with his, but I didn't notice Dad's t-shirt. Spider riding.
Oh my god, Kyle.
Yeah, buddy.
Also, do you recognize?
Hi,
that...
Theo. It's great to see you. Can we talk real quick to your daddy? Cool. Your son's dying.
That's not what happens at all.
Here, eat some ice pops while we tell your dad that you're dying.
Okay, can we talk about this bald kid situation?
Yeah, so, just including everybody.
He calls kids in here bald kids.
Uh-huh.
He calls it the bald kid room, and I was like, hey, Theo, pump the brakes. Like, well, that seems mean.
I think what they're trying to hinting at, I mean, foreshadowing, I think they're trying to hint that he knows that the bald room is like a sick room. Or like if you're with the bald kids, you know, you got something going on.
You're with the bald by choice kids?
Yeah, he's not like his dad.
your son is suffering from premature male pattern baldness.
Mm-hmm.
But what I find funny, and I don't know if you'll agree with this, they really, because they set up this whole story in the last two episodes of this season, and it feels like such hollow season-ending cliffhanger shit, because every conversation with this doctor is, we don't know what it is. Every single conversation, we don't know exactly what it is.
He just isn't making his red blood cells.
So it's literally, it's basically ending a season going, Theo could be dying, could also be A-OK by next season. We don't know. It's like, you gonna watch? You gonna watch next season?
He lost his wife this season, right? Yeah. Yeah, right?
Was it last season?
Was it last season?
Because I thought both Bobby and Sylvia died in the same season.
You're right.
And Bobby died last season. So, yeah.
You're right.
So, he lost his wife last season. But he did lose his first son, his second wife, his second partner, his first partner to movies, and then eventually CSI Miami.
But I was just thinking more of like, a lot of shit happens really fast to Sipowicz.
To Andy Sipowicz.
How has he not drank more?
Well, that's always kind of the idea underneath everything that happens to Sipowicz is this going to make him drink?
I mean, yeah, but it's a shock that it doesn't do it more.
Also, do you recognize the woman?
No.
In this family? So that woman is played by Elizabeth Rodriguez, who was in Orange is the New Black, the entire series, as well as Logan.
Yeah, I've never seen Logan. And I stopped Orange is the New Black after, I think, like the second season, third season.
But, yeah, she is on that show as well as the comic book film Logan, which I think is actually pretty good. And also a very interesting moment here where the father of that family is like, is she going to serve us coffee? And it's like, bitch, why would she serve you coffee?
Because she's a vagine, dude. That's why he's making her do it. It's the only reason.
And then he gets upset when his son asks for a cola and then says, when did you start drinking cola?
It's just a weird thing. Well, I mean, the dad is like a power trip type of guy, so.
He loves that band.
Who's in Power Trip?
Power Trip had that guy. I don't remember his name. But
had that guy. I don't remember. It's great. It's a great description.
But Power Trip is a band.
In that movie I've never seen.
Fuck you, Gal. So here they run down the attempted rape and then murder to Fancy. And I guess there was a dude running away from the scene of the crime and hit a van with their van.
Van on van crime.
We got to stop that van on van violence. And then...
What's so funny, dude?
What's funny is they have to talk to this girl who's like clearly really shaken up, and they go to Jill and they go, and you paused it. You paused it? We're off the rails at this point.
Off the rails by like margins of seconds.
Yeah, but if it's...
I can't get it to work. This controller is the worst, dude. Look, I'm trying to rewind.
Yes, I see what you're doing.
It's not rewinding.
I don't know where we are. Well,
They go to talk to the girl. They can't get Jill to do it because she's on the phone busy with something. And then something seems off about Diane. So they decide that they'll just go talk to her instead.
Yes. I think she does a pretty good job, Miss Rodriguez.
Yeah, being scared. Yeah, being she does a great job.
Being scared as hell and looking directly at the ground. But they do go kind of hard at her, considering the position she's in.
But was she almost raped? No, right?
No. What she tells them now is, because she shows them the bruises, and then they go, those bruises are old. And then she says, look, if you're saying he didn't rape me, he did. And like, so he did actually rape you. And he said, yeah, 4 days ago. So they find out, oh, this guy didn't do it today, but he did do it 4 days ago.
At some point, yeah.
And that obviously now leaves a big old question mark. If he did it 4 days ago, why was he there today? And did the brother and father know that he would be there today and then plan to kill him? Because then it's not defense, it's murder.
Yeah, you'd think they'd be a little bit cooler with this one, though.
Cooler with her?
Yeah, and like the brother and the dad.
You mean treat them better because they murdered a rapist?
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, I think they would have been cooler to those guys if the dad wasn't that much of a cock. Because he proves to be a real asshole.
That's fair. But I mean, he's upset. His daughter was raped.
Also, they keep saying that she was raped, but she also apparently was taking calls from the guy. So maybe they did have a pre-existing relationship. He did assault her, which I'm not saying was a good thing at all.
Yeah, I was about to say, what about those bruises?
So I'm thinking maybe they didn't know that she was in a relationship. Suddenly, they're like, hey, when that guy calls again, tell him to meet you here, and then we're going to kill him.
Or do you think her dad could have given her those bruises?
It's possible. Her dad is kind of a power trip dude. And demands coffee be served.
Serve me, bitch.
So this whole conversation is kind of awkward because Danny and Jill kind of run down like, okay, what happens if Jill knows about this? And instead of coming to the understanding, well, then Jill is a party to crimes, they come to the understanding, hey, I guess we got to murder Don.
Yeah, right?
Which is like,
okay,
huh?
Yeah. When you say it out loud, it kind of like fucks with their head. But yeah, that's 100%. It's like, Don's got to go. Denby, we call her Denby. Jill straight.
That's literally what they come to is... They're like, okay, well, if Jill knows, that means that she's wrapped up in it. And you go, okay, maybe she was doing wrong. And then instead they're like, nope, we got to murder Don.
Not only murder, he has to disappear.
Mm-hmm. Murder and concealing of the body.
He has to disappear.
They run back the new information about the rape to Fancy, and that Fancy gives him the name of the guy that hit the van on the way out. But Fancy takes a moment to say, and definitely talk to them, because something about this story is wrong. Something about this story is wrong.
He's a lieutenant for a reason.
He's getting those big bucks because he knows what's going on. Totally could hear you crunch the ice on that one. Thank you. This guy is such a dick. This guy is such a dick. They're like, we're not going to help this guy even if we find out it's kind of the truth.
Yeah, but I think he plays a good dad who's like, one, he's controlling, and then two, like, you know, this guy put his hands on his girl slash his maid, you know, he's going to be pissed.
His girl slash maid.
No, and I say that with, like, he probably just doesn't want to lose someone who's going to take care of him.
But yeah, he's sticking to his story super hard. And then even when they talk to the son, his response is hilarious, where he's like, I'm not her, like, caretaker. I don't monitor her business. And it's like,
I kind of do a little bit.
Like, okay, sure, but you're not interested in maybe if your daughter was raped a couple days ago, and maybe that's led, you're not daughter, your sister. Did I say daughter? I don't know.
You said daughter.
He came in, he was raping her, we took him out. Now,
I always found this scene very weird.
I agree with you. Because this scene is Sipowicz using the radio to tell Danny that he's in the car and he can't come in because he has no strength.
Yeah.
And then the sergeant's like, hey, get the fuck off the radio with personal calls. It's also amazing because this is the pre-cell phone era. So he...
But
like,
it's not. It's not. They have cell phones.
But they weren't around enough for every single person to have one. Only some people had some. I also didn't know that John was on the radios.
Yeah. Why would he be? Has to answer stuff if they're like homicide, blah, blah, blah. Just same way he would have to answer calls.
It just seemed weird that John knew exactly what to say. Like, it seems like John is pretty...
No, he's got it.
He's got it under control. Now, here is what I like to call grown men talking about their feelings and making it worse than it needs to be.
Why? Explain.
Because Sipowicz is obviously going through a hard time and a time of intense anxiety and worry. But he can't just say those things in those terms.
Okay.
He's got to make it a thing where he calls him on the radio to come out to the car and all types of stuff.
Okay. So you think he's like being theatrical?
No, well, I don't know.
Throwing a little flair into it.
He's throwing a little Ric Flair into it.
Woo!
Woo! Nature Boy. But
limousine riding.
But it's also such an awkward thing because I don't feel like Danny's earned this.
No, not at all. I didn't think they were this close.
Like, I thought
he would, if anything, why wouldn't he call Diane?
Yeah, that makes sense.
He's closer. I feel like he has a better relationship with Diane.
Also, I thought this dude looked like 16 years old. Because this guy looks young to me.
Yeah, he could be both.
But essentially, this is the dude running away from the scene. Judging by the way he's acting, it almost felt like he has no idea what's going on.
Yeah. They're like, you got a minute? Sure. Just go in there and just whatever happens, happens. And they started, two men just started yelling at him.
It's like, oh, shit, we didn't get an actor. Get an improv guy down here. Because they think he left this scene of the bat beating, and that was not a beating done by Batman. It was people using bats. They think he left the scene of the bat beating and hit another car, and he's claiming that he has a headache so bad he can't even see. And Jones gets like inches away from being like, I'm going to beat the shit out of you.
Medavoy gets inches away from his face.
If you say Larry who? Also, what a great title. A guy named Larry gets beaten with bats to death. Bats off to Larry. That's just good shit. But imagine Baldwin Jones standing over you while you're seated. It's like, nah, not cool.
Get the fuck out of a lot of people, I feel like.
So he mentions that he's going blind, and they offer him water, and then Jones takes off his watch, which is the international sign for, I don't want to ruin my watch beating your ass. And then the guy's like, yo, you give me an aspirin, I'll tell you everything that happens. And now, Jill, or not Jill, Diane is going to find out just how much Jill knows. By taking her into the coffee room, having a heart to heart. A lot of nothing.
Yeah, a lot of people just walking around.
A lot of people just walking around.
Staring at each other.
And looking at each other.
Things are about to go off.
And what I... Something that this scene kind of highlighted for me that I think may be a detriment to NYPD Blue as a show that you write. When they start talking to each other, the detectives start talking to each other, and then they start, like, they start interrogating each other, so that every time they leave a conversation with each other, it's like, they already knew. She does the same thing with Denby later, earlier, episode before. But they'll have whole conversations where when they come back for the conversation, like, they already knew about that and they already knew about this, and then they were trying to make me think this was happening. And they're all playing this chess game with the words. And Jill essentially is like, so what if the dude's alive? He's dead to me. And then she's like, That's not the reaction I'd expect out of you.
Well, what reaction do you want?
I think she would expect Jill to be like, are you serious? Like, where? What did he look like? How does he look? But Jill...
She's a little passive-aggressive about it.
Yeah,
sure.
She gets a little...
It is what it is.
I don't want to be sexist about it, but she seems a little bitchy about it. Like, Diane is like, hey, so I think I saw Dawn, and she's like, maybe you did.
How's that sexist, though?
To call her bitchy?
Yeah.
Because bitchy is a term used to demean women.
I mean, you're bitchy all the time.
But the important part of this scene is... Diane has the breakdown, and Jill just is like, whatever. But this part makes me laugh, where she's like...
There we go.
But this conversation, I think it really takes a turn when Diane says, basically, well, screw both Don and Denby. Fuck them. Let's just call the cops. And then she's like, well, what about my kids? It's like, you're doing a terrible job, period. Like, you kind of just want to say that to Jill. Like, obviously, you've done a terrible job, period. You married Don. You had kids with him. The dude's a piece of shit. Maybe we need to start thinking about your kids in the long run and just break off this whole Don situation by putting him in jail.
And she says, no, let them be, and then they'll mess up, and Don will get away, and Tenby will get in trouble. It's basically what she says she wants.
She basically says, well, because Diane's like, well, if we know that Denby's involved, we can get IAB involved, and then we'll just shut it all down. And she, and Kirkendall's response is like, well, maybe Don will get away. It's like, who gives a fuck about Don? Why do we care about Don?
Yeah, and she just doesn't want anything because her kids. She's thinking about her, their father.
And this sad dude who apparently was just hanging out with a bro. That bro's like, hey, do you want to bang this girl that I banged 4 days ago? She's down to bang anything. And this guy was like, I guess, and gets up there and then watches his friend get murdered with bats and runs away.
Yeah, no,
But he says those dudes were lying in wait. Which goes against their story.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, he does a good job describing his friend getting beat over the head.
But essentially, imagine being so blinded with anger to murder a dude with a bat, you don't notice that there was another guy with him.
I know, that's a good point.
Because that guy
it's
got
intense.
This guy got away, and he heard them say specific things, but he got away while they were murdering his friend.
Right, yeah.
And they did not notice he was running away. But that's the thing about this whole situation, because this is really the momentous ending to the season. We find out that Jill's involved, but their first thought isn't, I guess Jill gets in trouble. It's, how do we get Jill out of trouble? It's like, fucking why? She fucked up.
Yeah, that's always been my thing. It's like, Jill's been making a lot of dumb moves. Like, when do you just stop trying to help her?
So they do a fun cut here where they're interrogating both the father and the son, but they intercut different moments with both of them as if it's one interview, but yeah, it's actually both of them, where slowly they let them both know, hey, Anita's telling us the truth now, and we know that you murdered that guy. And this guy is like, oh my gosh, she hasn't been the same. He essentially says, my daughter hasn't been the same since she was raped. Like, she doesn't answer the phone anymore.
And bring me my food when it's warm.
It's like, oh my God, the horror. And then Baldwin and Medavoy have the lady detectives tell the girl, by the way, you're not going home, and your dad and a brother are going into the system.
Yeah, and it seems like she's, like, her sole, like, purpose in life right now is taking care of her dad and brother.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, and I think, because we're about to see the scene, I know we're way off because we had to stop the fucking episode and we've had problems pausing and going, but when they talk to her, she's still in super, super scared mode, and like, she talks about getting brains on her dress. But,
yeah, brain, bro. Oh, thought of something else.
Anyway, when they tell her, oh, you get to go to a hotel, and a policewoman will go with you. She's like, oh my God, thank you, and then gives him a hug. But she doesn't say thank you to the hotel. She says thank you after saying your dad and your brother are going to prison.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, she didn't really want to live with him anymore either.
Yeah, but what, like, I'm just makes me worried for, like, her. Like, how's she going to take care of herself? Doesn't seem like they let her have a job, you know?
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen.
Just those things.
Sipwitz is wiping down his counters for some reason. Yeah, Sipwitz just snaps at the weirdest things.
Yeah.
He's giving his lovies a good night. He's like, don't call them lovies. They're stuffed animals.
Well, I mean, if you use the word love too much, it's going to make him gay, so.
Now, Katie, here's the thing. And I know your opinion on this. But Katie gets real annoying after she finds Jesus. Because everything is about God and faith. And every single scene seems to come back to, well, God will give us the strength, Andy. And it's like, why do you keep going at him with that shit when you know he doesn't give a fuck?
Everyone's annoying when they first find religion.
I was hoping we would get it.
No matter what religion, but no matter what religion it is, because everyone has to like tell you about it, tell you why it's the best, tell you why they like their God has made them better, and blah blah blah.
Oh, speaking of religion and annoying, this scene is straight out of the Why Not Ben, where we bring back Andy Jr. To have a conversation with Andy on the couch.
Talking to ghosts.
This whole conversation is really weird. Because it seems like the ghost of Andy Jr. is telling him, hey, don't worry, he's going to be fine. And the Sipwitz is like, don't tell me he's going to be fine.
Well, he says he's going to be fine in a weird way. He basically says, whether alive or dead, the kid's going to be okay.
Yeah. He basically gives Sipwitz the, hey, man, no matter how it shakes out, it's going to be fine. And then Sipwitz, he starts using very strange language to talk to him, where he's like, don't do any kidnapping or embezzling. And it's like, what are you talking about? Also, Andy Jr. looks like he's aged like 10 years when it's only been 4 or 5.
Yeah. And you're supposed to be an angel, dude. Like, you don't age.
He's supposed to be, I imagine he's supposed to be the same age when he died. Because eventually you see the hole in his neck. Because in case you didn't know, Andy Jr. was murdered. By someone shooting him in the back of the head. And he... Eventually they show the wound. Yeah, right here. But when you look at this actor, if you remembered him from those episodes, you're like, he looks so much older.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird how much older he looks.
Yeah, but I think this whole conversation is just telling Sipwitz to just be with his son and not worry all the time. Like, yeah. Don't sit over your son worrying about him. Just go be with him and, like, help him and just be by his side and be a dad.
Because it ends with the words, don't be afraid of nothing, which is what Theo said directly to Andy at the beginning of the episode. And it turns out that was a dream. His dream talking to his son. But this show does have a history of
dream talks.
Dream talks with dead people, including his son and Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ was a trucker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That weird.
Jesus Christ has always been a trucker, I feel like.
And the episode stopped there. As you could hear, we were having issues all over the place with the recording equipment and with the way we were watching the episode. I apologize. I'm hoping to get it fixed by the beginning of Season 8, because we recorded the season finale of Season 7 in the same session we recorded this episode. I apologize. I wish I could have done something better, but, you know, we're an amateur operation here. Anyway, if you want more NYPD Blue in your life, the episodes are available on Amazon and on Hulu. If you need more information, period, there's a couple of books out there, What Would Sipowicz Do?, a collection of articles about the show, True Blue, written by the creators and consultants of the first couple seasons, and Gene Kendall's An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue. I'm hoping to get back on the schedule of every other Tuesday, but we are still in the midst of everybody in the Asher family moving around. So hopefully we can get more consistency soon, but if not, we'll see you when we can. Peace.